This is Progressive Radio, a weekly conversation hosted by Matthew Rothschild, editor of The Progressive Magazine, a leading voice for peace and social justice. For more information about Progressive Radio or The Progressive Magazine, log on to our website at progressive.org.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of The Progressive Magazine, and welcome to another edition of Progressive Radio. My guest this week is Pepe Palacios of the Diversity Resistance Movement in Honduras. Pepe Palacios is a leader of the LGBT movement there in Honduras. And I don't know that much about that movement, and I imagine you, the listener, may not also. So this should be a very informative half hour. Pepe Palacios, tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in things political.
Well, since I was a teenager, you know, my family, my older brothers, they were really involved during the students' organizations in the 80s. You know, in the 80s in Honduras, there were a lot of repression. The we in 82 is the return of Honduras to democracy. But, you know, it was a fake democracy. The military was still in charge, so they have a president, was a puppet as president, and they have this national security policy, and there was a lot of people that disappeared that decade. So,
and the United States was supporting these death squads in Honduras. There's Battalion 33 or something like that?
316.
Battalion 316.
Yeah. And, you know, the chief of the military, Alvarez Martinez, he was part of the School of the Americas. So he was an honor graduate of the School of the Americas. And, well, almost 200 persons were disappeared, but none of them were LGBTs. Because during that decade, there was no LGBT movement at all. The first LGBT organizations appears in the 80s, but because of the fight against HIV and AIDS. So they have their own struggle, and they didn't care, I guess, the repression against the rest of the population. So...
And yourself, you're a gay man in Honduras?
Yeah,
and I am. What was coming out for you like with your family?
Well, for me, it was not difficult because of my family. And, you know, they were really progressive. But for the rest of the people, it's really hard. Most of the people wait until they're 20, 25 because they need to be independent to come out. If they come out when they're teenagers, maybe their family will expel them from their house, and it's really complicated. So
it must be difficult for most LGBT youth in Honduras, a very Catholic country.
Yeah,
and the church is opposed. Quite certain,
yeah.
And but you came from a family that was very progressive and was very aware, and you were lucky that way.
Yeah.
And your older brothers who were involved in protesting against the brutal repression in the 1980s, were they ever jailed or?
Yeah, yeah. My brother, he was in jail a couple of times. And, you know, he was in this some kind of blacklist, so he had to get out of the country and for a couple of months because his life was in danger.
Where did he go?
Nicaragua.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is when the repression in Honduras was connected to the Contra War against the Sandinistas with Reagan.
And it's, yes, this Reagan time, yeah. And it's when the Palmerola's base, the military base, is they put this base in Honduras, just an excuse to because Guatemala, El Salvador, and Nicaragua has or they were in a civil war in Guatemala and El Salvador, and the fight with the contrast against the Sandinistas in Nicaragua. So it was the perfect excuse. The thing is now, the country, the rest of the countries are in peace, but we still have the Palmerola space.
It's very strange because Honduras, with the coup that happened on Honduras, which seemed like something that was out of the 1980s mm-hmm. or even the late 1970s, mm-hmm. But here it happened under the Obama administration while Obama was president. And yeah. What was your reaction to U.S. policy after the coup?
Well, you know, in the beginning, you know, the military came to the president, to the president's house. They abducted him. They put him on a plane and they sent it to Costa Rica. But they did a church stop. Maybe they ran out of gas. I don't know. But they stopped in this Palmerola's military base. Why? We don't know yet. So President Obama said in the beginning that he was against the coup, that that was a military coup. But then the State Department said, okay, we need to know if what is really happening. And, you know, they have this like a double morality policy. They'd suspend the visas from the coup supporters, but that's it. You know, there was no serious decision in order to restore democracy in Honduras. You know, there was a lot of diplomacy, but we know after WikiLeaks, for instance, that the American ambassador knew and have profiles of the coup supporters, people that most of the people didn't know that were involved. For instance, the cardinal. The big media media persons, you know, the big networks, like the owners of, it's like the
people, owners of NBC and
yeah,
CBS.
Yeah, CBS and ABC, yeah. Yeah. And a lot of businessmen, they have their profile, so they knew. They knew that something is going to happen. And
well, this double morality has been so typical. I like that phrase of yours.
Yeah.
I'm speaking with Pepe Palacios. He's a leader of the LGBT movement in Honduras, part of the resistance movement there in Honduras. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm the editor at the Progressive Magazine. You're listening to Progressive Radio. This coup in late June 2009 is such a black mark on the Obama administration and a setback for democracy in Central America. Tell me a little bit about the person who was overthrown, Manuel Zelaya.
Well, the president... Well, now he came back in May 2011. He was almost 2 years in the Dominican Republic. So there was this Cartagena agreement that allows him to return to the country. But that also means that Honduras was once again part of the Organization of American States. So that was the deal. And when he came back, there was a lot of discussions within the National Resistance Front, and there was a National Assembly, and the Assembly decided to participate in the electoral in the elections.
In the process.
The electoral process. Thank you. So... the front decided to create a new party. The name is Libre. And also the assembly select Xiomara Castro, the former first lady, as the presidential candidate.
Zelaya's wife.
Yeah, it's Zelaya's wife. And, what we also, we need candidates. So we didn't have any. And there was like four movements within the Libre. So they went to primary elections, and now we have the candidate for the Congress and the candidate for the city councils, the local city councils. Well, one of the things is that two movements within Libre, they have LGBTs leaders as pre-candidates.
Openly. LGBT
openly, candidates. Openly. We choose, the first in Francisco Morazan is the larger state, is where the capital is. We have one candidate, and, you know, 2 weeks later that he was chosen as candidate, he was murdered.
Mm. What was his name?
Eric Martinez. Mm.
And who murdered him and why?
Well, we still don't know.
Mm. There have been a lot of political murders.
Yep.
And a lot of murders of LGBT people in Honduras after the coup.
Yeah, you know, since 1994 until 2009, the report said that there were only 20 murders, LGBT individuals murdered in Honduras. In 15 years, 20. Since the coup, three and a half years, we have 89. So it makes no sense. 20 in 15 years and 89 in 3.5 years. So
there's something going on there. Yeah. I mean, it looks to me like there's some death squad activity sponsored by people connected with the military in Honduras. And,
yeah, that's because it's what is said before that, we said that the coup d'etat, you know, the date is June 28th, and it's maybe a coincidence, but it's also the date of Stonewall. Stonewall riots were in June 28th, 1969, so 40 years later, the LGBTs organization in Honduras has their own Stonewall. Mm-hmm. So the LGBT people became visible. You know, they were on the streets. The transgender women were more visible.
Why do you say the coup was the equivalent of Stonewall for LGBT?
Because it was the awakening. It was like an awakening. You know, if there's something positive with the coup is that for us, it was the awakening because the LGBTs organization were not involved in the other social fight, social struggles. You know, they didn't care the battles of women, for instance, or the indigenous claiming for land, or the Afro Hondurans. They don't care now. As part of the resistance fronts, you know, we have more involvement. And
is that because of the government repression forced people in the LGBT community to realize the alliances that were so natural?
Yeah, you know, this coup was the awakening of the social movement. For instance, in the 70s, we have a lot of coup d'etat. But, you know, they broadcast, they make an announcement on the radio and said, since now, we have a new government, and that's it. And no one said anything. So maybe they thought that and this time it will be pretty much the same. But they were wrong. So all the people from different status, from different rich, poor, went to the streets and try to restore democracy. Now we know that the coup, unfortunately, was successful because the de facto regime remains until the transition of the new government, and with all the support of the Obama administration. And
they were very. Hillary Clinton, as Secretary of State, was pushing hard for recognition of the coup government and recognition of the government in the election that was boycotted after that.
So,
all these people who are huge Hillary Clinton supporters and wanted to run for president in 2016 should recognize what her role was in a very anti-democratic way and a bloody way, because there were so many people murdered after the coup, including a. LGBT leader. I believe his name is Walter. Walter Troche.
Walter Troche.
Tell me about him and what happened to him.
Well, Walter Troche was, he was also in the front line of the resistance. So he was an LGBT leader and also an HIV and AIDS leader. And, you know, a few days before he was murdered, he was also abducted. In a pickup truck with no place at all.
He was abducted.
Yeah, but he escaped, and you know, all the human rights organizations were really aware, so they pushed all the buttons to send it out of the country
to
in order to save his life. But unfortunately, 2 days before, he was murdered. He was shot in the central park of Tegucigalpa. Now we don't know anything at all. What really happened? Because no investigation at all. And last year, the State Department and the American embassy, they sent FBI agents, and they are investigating, helping the investigation with the police and the human rights public prosecutors to just, they are only investigating LGBT murders.
But that, again, is part of the double morality that you were speaking of before, because on the one hand, you have the U.S. government under the State Department supporting the coup and the people who are doing these political murders, and then on the other hand, you send the FBI to try to investigate the murders.
No.
That is a paradox. That's kind of absurd, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it is. But the if you see it in a positive wave, the thing is, without the FBI agent, maybe none of the murders were under investigations. You know, the government...
By the government itself.
Yeah, they didn't care. They have a lot of excuses. You know, Honduras has the highest rate of murder in the whole world. So why they have to investigate just the murders related with us? Social group, so they didn't have political will to do that.
And there have been other members of other groups, not just LGBTs, who've been killed since the coup.
Journalists,
union organizers, peasant leaders.
Campesinos. You know, there's a lot of campesinos. The number of things there is almost 100. Campesinos, just 2 or 3 days ago, the two of them were murdered in Tocoa, and we have a lot of journalists. We had also attorneys. Last day, another attorney was murdered, and you know, it's funny, but it's not funny. But the thing is, in Maine, last year, this LGBT leader who was chosen as pre-candidate for the Congress, he was murdered, and he was also a journalist. So a couple of days later, a well-known Cube supporter journalist was kidnapped, and the president offered 3 million lempiras reward. It's $150 for any information about him. But, you know, before him, there were like 27 journalists murdered, and he didn't say anything. But because he was his personal friend, so he offered my money for my taxes just for information.
Did
about
they get information about
but
that?
But unfortunately, he was also murdered.
I mean, it sounds like El Salvador in the late 1970s, early 1980s, it's kind of haunting for people who are living there, for sure, and then for observers like me, who followed those grotesque death squad governments there. I'm speaking with Pepe Palacios of the Diversity Resistance Movement in Honduras. Palacios, a leader of the LGBT movement there and the resistance movement there, and you're part of the Party Libre. You're a party member, I assume. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm the editor at the Progressive Magazine. You're listening to Progressive Radio. What is life like for LGBTs in Honduras? How safe is it, aside from these political murders, just day-to-day, socially safe to be out in public as a lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender person?
Well, there's a lot of discrimination. You know, Honduras is a very conservative country, and also is very religious, not only Catholic, but the evangelical church has a lot of power. And, you know, according to our constitution, Honduras is a secular state, but that's the law. You know, the cardinal and the the Catholic should decide for every law. During the coup, for instance, the date forbidden the day after, next morning pill, I think that's the name it's the only country in Latin America that contraceptive pills are forbidden.
So it outlaws contraception. Outlaws the pill. And that happened the day after the coup?
No, that happened like a couple of months after the coup. But,
it's interesting just to see what, you know, a kind of a real right-wing fascist-style coup brings. It brings repression against LGBTs. It brings repression against women. It brings repression against unionists. It brings repression against freedom of speech and journalists. I mean, that is just classic. It's almost like Pinochet in Chile.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same. It's pretty much the same. But
you can go. Are there LGBT parades in Honduras? Are there open events, or is
Yeah, we have. We have the gay pride as here, but we thought that it's not political at all. You know, it's like a festival. We have more political events. In May 17 is the International Day Against Homophobia. So we have made a lot of things. We go to the cathedral and we kiss in front of the cathedral in order, because, you know, it's allowed for a heterosexual to kiss everywhere. But, you know, if you're a homosexual, they can put you in jail because there's some love of peaceful something, that's the name.
Disturbing the peace or something?
Yeah, but we're disturbing the peace.
Okay. But so when you go and have this kind of kiss in front of the cathedral, are you heckled by people? Are people yelling at you, or is it just goes okay?
Yeah. We have this big march, and we have five stuff, one of them in front of the procession house. So we did a speech and we kiss. So there was a lot of media, a lot of, you know, and the next day, none of them, nothing at all. The only news that we have was a Brazilian newspaper, but none of them, no newspaper, no TV, none of them said
anything. They weren't covering it.
No. No.
And why is that, do you think?
Oh, well. You don't need to be too smart to know that. Yeah. There's a lot of... it's like you know, the journalists, you know, they make the news, but during editing...
So the owners of the newspapers and the owners of the networks didn't want to publicize the LGBT cause.
You know, and during the coup, all of them said a lot of lies to the people. You know, they even said that because of the close relation of Zelaya with Chavez, you know, that our children will be abducted, and that in Cuba they'd eat the children. So things like that.
So just outrageous propaganda about Zelaya and Hugo Chavez and Castro. Tell me about what the economic policies have been of this Honduran coup-connected government. Are they opening up the country for multinational companies and things like that?
Yeah. They have 2 years ago something that they call Honduras is open for business.
Oh, really?
And you know,
and that's the same slogan we had in Wisconsin with Governor Scott Walker. Wisconsin
really?
Is open for business. That's what he was using.
Well, we have that too. And the Congress approved a really unpopular law, is the Model Cities, that law will give part of our land to the private sector, international private sector, and they can do anything. They could have their own laws, their own police, their own judges. It's like a country inside another country.
So this is like a free trade zone, but even worse.
Yeah, even worse. So the Supreme Court said that law was unconstitutional. So the Congress fired the four judges that vote against that law. They are not allowed to do that. It's like, you know, it's not, it's the Congress is not allowed to fire.
But they did it anyway.
Yeah, they did it. And now, a couple of weeks ago, they passed that law again, and they approve it. So the thing is, now they have new judges. Obviously, they are good friends of them. So maybe that law will not be declared as unconstitutional. They also, a couple of weeks ago, they have approved a mining law that almost will give the total control of mining to mostly Canadian industries.
We're pushing them. There's a mining law going through in Wisconsin, too. I know there's a mining law or mining controversy in El Salvador, too. But seems to be a coordinated effort by multinational companies, multinational mining companies, just to throw their weight around everywhere they can.
And the thing is, these two laws are very unpopular, but they don't care. They have control of the Congress. They don't even, the National Party, who's actually in the government, in Honduras we have 128 congressmen and congresswomen. They have 70. So they have the opposition power. Yeah.
But they may not have it forever. And you say there are elections coming in November.
Yeah.
And that the resistance movement this time, instead of boycotting the elections as it did last time, is running candidates, including former President Manuel Zelaya's wife.
Including him.
What is he running for?
For the Congress. He's running for the Congress. And, last Tuesday, the first Gallup poll was published, and it said that Xiomara is leading the polls. So, we are happy, but we are also concerned. You know, if they were, if their plan, a coup d'etat, a very successful coup d'etat, they can plan, whatever they want to make a big fraud or to create a crisis that give them the excuse to stop elections.
Yeah, they could. So they could cancel the elections. Yeah. They could steal the elections.
Yeah.
But still, it's important to contest the elections.
Yeah.
That's what you think, and that's what the party thinks. Yeah. And why is it important as opposed to boycotting?
Well, I think the resistance front is a pacific movement. So
peaceful movement.
Peaceful, yeah. It's a non-violent. So there was a lot of discussion, but finally they decided that this is the best way to confront them.
Mm-hmm. Now, we only have about less than a minute left. I just have to ask you, because so many LGBT activists have been killed in Honduras since the coup, whether you're concerned about your own safety.
Well, for now, what we know is that we started this movement, and there's no time to step back. If we step back, they will win. So, sometimes you feel fear, but if you paralyze, they win.
They win. Well, Pepe Palacios, thanks so much for being my guest today on Progressive Radio. It's been fascinating for me.
Today's program is available online at progressive.org. You can also write to us at 409 East Main Street, Madison, Wisconsin, 53703. Our music is by Mufa. Progressive Radio is produced by Elizabeth DiNovella and engineered at Audio for the Arts in Madison, Wisconsin.